Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, thought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Oh, yes, on this glorious, and you know it is, glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made, that we are rejoicing in on this miraculous and melodious Monday. You got it, guys. Can you believe it? We are already toward the end of the month of April. You got it. The 25th of April, and you best to believe, I'm sorry, the 22nd. I'm pushing the process a little bit more expeditious than previous. And let me tell you something. And in pushing the process, we see the handiworks of God working on our behalf. And we know, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Man of Speaking, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're in the midst of, know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So we're praising God on this day that he has made, and not we ourselves, for we know that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, we're entering into his gates with thanksgiving. We're entering into his courts with praise. For we know that gracious, holy, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent is his name. I don't know about you, but as the songwriter says, I don't feel no ways tired. That's right. Right when you think you can't endure the battle any longer, that you can't stand or withstand, the power of his presence declares unto you and unto me, peace be still. That's a word of knowledge. Someone here in listening land, I don't know where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Australia, Africa, or Antarctica, I'm here to tell you, hold fast to God's unchanging hand. For every promise that he makes unto his children is yea. It is yes. It is confirmed. And he watches over his word to perform it. And as King David said in the infancy phases of his deliverance and his exaltation, he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So we're here, yes we are, giving praise, giving honor unto his name. But when the praises of God go up, the miraculous intervention and the blessings come down and they manifest. That's right. They manifest. And so many of you are standing in the need of that manifestation. Hold fast. That financial deliverance is coming. Hold fast. That relationship is being rejuvenated and revitalized. God is putting new blood into the veins of your relationship. Hold fast. God is fixing that situation at your workplace. Hold fast. God is dealing with your children. Hold fast. God is intervening on your behalf because you trusted him. You endured the battle in days and hours and minutes and seconds that you cried, that you were broken. God was touched by your contrite spirit and your brokenness. He's saying, yea, I am preparing for you the greatness of your existence. I am fixing what you attempted to fix. Now that you've let go and you've allowed me, I will do what is impossible. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. I love him because he first loved me and that he fulfills every promise that he makes me. And now that you have no choice but to trust him, he's going to fulfill every promise that he made you. Praise his wonderful, his matchless, his sovereign, his blessed name. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit is moving. This is the season of manifestation. You know, last year when I began to minister to many of you here on the manner of speaking, and even in personal consultation, I told you that the year of 2024 would be a year of revealing. It is a year of revelation, of restoration, that God is showing up and showing out to those who oppress his people, to those who attempted to undermine those who stood fast in the faith, and those who spoke evil of God's people. He said, every tongue that speaks against you will be condemned. God has condemned them. You didn't have to raise a fist. You didn't have to lift an arm. You didn't have to use unsavory words to express yourself. God said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And he said, be better to take a millstone and put it around your neck and cast yourself into the sea than just to offend. That means upset one of his little ones. And then what a blessing it is to be one of God's little and enduring and endearing children. Oh, precious pilgrims, God takes pleasure in our prosperity. He takes pleasure and splendor in our blessings, in our miracle manifestations. In Jesus, we were told, there's greater works than these that you do in my name. And when you work and do what you do in the name of the Lord, he will reward you. Secret blessings, something about secret blessings. It's pouring into my being, into my spirit, saying secret blessings. Things that you have done and you never thought they were going to pay off. God said, payday has come. Amen? This is a word of prophecy. Grab this word. Hold it. Secret blessings. God has prepared some wonderful, wonderful things for you and I. That's right, because we held on and we held out. And let me tell you something. Oh, talking about testimonies rolling in, we're going to hear those testimonies. And you know, be sure to definitely email me. And I've given you my email address, abbyself965@gmail.com. And share those wonderful testimonies. And you also can share them here on the manner of speaking on the email platform as well. That's right. We love to hear about the great things that God has done and is doing in your life, my life, and in the lives of others. And I'm getting excited too because in another week, that's right, we're going to be engaging in what we call National Day of Prayer. We're going to be praying for our country. We're going to be praying for other lands within the global perspective of society. We're going to be praying for our children, for our men and our women in the military, for every leader in the land that God has commanded into his service. We're going to be praying for our educational system to revive and revitalize its structure, its goal and its mission to be God-centered, God-focused, and God-created. We're going to move forth and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's my prayer and it's my desire that you engage in a National Day of Prayer on May 2nd. That's right. I don't care if you start at 3 a.m. all the way to 9 p.m. Go forth in the word of prayer and make your petition known. And you're talking about the power of God's presence is going to illuminate, is going to demonstrate, is going to manifest all throughout this land. And if there was ever a time that we all needed to pray and stay on the altar, that time is here and now. And I know many of you have heard me say that these are the times that try men's souls, that people don't care. So many are callous and cold, but we're holding on to his word, and we know that his word is true. When we make one step, oh, he will take two. So we're praising God today for all of his great, wondrous work, all of his mighty presentations that he has shared with the children of men. And holy and reverent is his name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we're here today just to give you a word of encouragement. That's right. I know a couple of weeks I've been on the field working in the field, doing the work of he that has sent me. So I miss coming to you and miss coming in the way of fellowshipping with you. But know that I kept you all because I love you with the love of God in my prayers. That's right. And you talking about healing this land. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal this land. This land needs to be healed from sea to sea. That's right. From coast to coast, from region to region, the mountainous areas. That's right. The plateau, the plain, everywhere needs to be healed. That's right. And we're standing here, and we're receiving that healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's just the name of Jesus, my beloved, precious pilgrim, that every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's right, to the glory of God. Amen. It doesn't get any better than that. Amen. Amen and amen indeed it is. Listen, we're going to go very quickly with you here in the word of God. And remember this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're going to be coming back to you again on Sunday, and we're going to continue our chapter-to-chapter study in the book of Genesis. We're going to pick up the latter part of the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to the 27th as well. But as a time of encouragement and edification, we're going to remain in the book of Psalms. That's right. We're going to remain in the book of Psalms because there's something about Psalms. It's not only poetic and a composition structured presentation of words. Many people say Psalms is so full of melodious words and in-depth phrases and poetic presentation. But beyond that, Psalms is a book that flows with an energy that is just awesome. It talks about the struggles of a believer. It talks about the exaltation, the fear, the uncertainty. It talks about a time of refreshing, of revitalizing, deliverance, miraculous interventions. Psalms is just a multifaceted book of new beginnings and of seasons of greatness, even times of sorrow and uncertainty, God is there. So if I were to give a catchphrase to reflect what the book of Psalms meant, the longest book in the Bible, 150 divisions or chapters, I would say the very essence of God's presence is in Psalms. That's right. A man is relaying his feelings unto God. And God is reflecting back to him through his power. And here, as the Holy Spirit had to lead me to this psalm, it's a very familiar psalm, so I want you to go with me very briefly to Psalm 34, the Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior toward Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. You know what? We see this man not being angry any longer. David knew that he was an anointed and appointed king. See, when God anoints you, he appoints you. Appoint means assign for a designated task to be completed through you. And so when David got out of his feelings, he began to realize that there was a much higher level of exaltation that was placed upon him, and that God had to prepare him. He had to strip him of his pride. He had to strip him of his self-sufficiency. See, God oftentimes does this because he wants us to lean and depend upon him. So as we're going to Psalm 34, we're praying and asking that God open up our eyes, that he cleanses our hearts, that he opens up our ears and the windows of our understanding to our minds, so that we will reflect upon the word and be blessed in all that we do. We want to be blessed in such a way that everything that we set out to do manifests into a miracle existence. That's right. Thank you, Father God, for this time to speak to your people here on the Man Up Speaking, brought through the Blog Talk Radio Network. Father God, we're asking that every listener who's tuning in, that they would be blessed, that they would receive the greatness of your presence at this very hour. Lord, you know what they stand in need of. You know what their desire is. We're asking that you fulfill their desire and that you send deliverance expeditiously and thoroughly, Father God, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Let them feel your anointing cleansing them, making them all together whole and healing them. Father God, be Jehovah Rapha. Father God, be Jehovah Jireh. Be Jehovah Tisser. Be Jehovah Yahweh. Be Jehovah Tiskanu. Be all that we need, Father God. Either be Jehovah Nissi. Be Jehovah Yahweh. Be all that we need at this day and time. And we'll praise you. We'll honor you. We'll testify of your greatness. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So he's saying, I will give thanks unto God at every given opportunity, and I will constantly speak of his greatness in my life from personal experience. Second verse. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That means that my soul will just rejoice to the point people will see the changeover and the difference in me, and they will desire to know what it is that makes me the way that I am. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us come together as one and to give thanks unto God, sometimes with that neighbor, sometimes with that coworker, sometimes with that family member, sometimes with maybe a stranger that you don't even know. Speak of God's goodness. Oh, what a wonderful day it is. God is so good. The more that you speak positive affirmations into your life, the more positive affirmations will manifest in the physical realm. Because don't forget, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And God watches over his word to perform it. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Fear hath torment. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind, wherewith we cry, Abba, Father, me, help us, Father. We're relying on you, Father. We need you, Father. We trust you, Father. You are our heavenly Father. You know us because you created us in your own image. You knew us when we were but spiritual beings. Now that we're encased in this earthly shell called a human body, we need you the more. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You know something? You should never, ever be ashamed of who you are in God. You should be willing to share your testimonies with others who may not be in the faith. Some have left the faith because of experiences. Let them know that mankind is imperfect, but we are living beings that desire the presence of a perfect God, a God who knows how many hairs are upon our head, who knows our doings. He knows our going out. He knows our coming in. This is whom we trust, not man. Mankind made religion and practices and belief systems don't stand. Only when you worship God in spirit and truth can you stand and take a stand and withstand. That's right. Because don't forget, he's omnipotent. That means all powerful. Omnipresent. That's right. Every place, every time. That's right. And omniscient, all knowing. He's the only one. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver him. Because why? The sixth verse said, this poor man cried unto the Lord. He heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, O believers and precious pilgrims. But the Lord, he heareth them and delivers them out of them all. Afflictions don't mean that you're broke down, you can't do for yourself, and you're just at the lowest state of existence, and you're bedridden, you're walking around not knowing what day and time it is. No, sometimes affliction means heaviness. You have burdens. That's why sometimes you're trying to do something, and it seems to be of no avail. Sometimes you're trying to break through the petition, and it seems as though it's just not happening. Sometimes you feel like nothing that I do seems to really pay off. That's an affliction. That's a heaviness. That's a problematic situation. But many are the problematic situations of those who love God. But you know what? He delivers us out of them all. He will not give us over to our enemies. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You're blessed. When you trust in God, you can lay down and sleep peacefully at night. When you trust in God, you can go out and do what it is that you do in the way of your career path. You can go out freely and not be afraid, because we know that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. That's right. That's right. They watch over us even when we're asleep, because sometimes the enemy tries to come in when we're asleep because we're in a more vulnerable state. But the angel of the Lord drives him away. If we knew and could see what we were being protected from, we would be in awe. That's right, of knowing how great God is to watch over us. All fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want in them that fear him. That means there's no lack. When you fear God, that's the beginning of your knowledge. And knowledge begets wisdom. Wisdom begets understanding. That's right. And wisdom, not only understanding, you gain the momentum to be in a posture or a position where God can do the miraculous with you, for you, and on your behalf. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And the scripture also says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walketh upright. Come, ye children, come unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life? I mean, what person is it that desires to have a great life, a long, healthy, prosperous, productive, and progressive life, and love many days that he may see good? I think that's the desire of every one of us as believers. Jesus told us, behold, I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. Here's the secret. It's really not a secret. It's just a simple yet forward truth. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking God. Because you know what? God is not mocked. The scripture tells us. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when we don't speak evil, evil will not come. If we don't desire wickedness, wickedness will not come. it will not prevail with us. Depart from evil. Someone offended you, don't sit up and just literally concentrate on getting back at them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not ours. He said, depart from evil and do good. Jesus told us, let them that curse you. You know people who talk about you. Your spirit discerns it. You have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the holy teacher. He said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. He said, in doing so, you'll keep heap coals of vengeance, of judgment upon their heads. God will fix them on your behalf. You don't have to do anything. Seek peace and pursue it. That means see ways that you can make amends for whatever is problematic in that circumstance. And do it. Do it. You have the power within you. With all this, see, we can't make this journey. We can't do this pilgrim journey alone. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all manner of truth. And oh, I love this scripture. The eyes of the Lord are what? Upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto his cry. God hears us. He sees us. He feels us. And he's touched by our infirmities, areas of weakness. When we feel as though we don't have anything going on our behalf, he is touched by that because we are his beloved children. I'd rather be a beloved child of God and live a long, healthy, happy, and prosperous life and please him and have all my needs met than to live a fast lane existence out in the world. Because what profit of man that he gained the world and lose his own soul? He don't profit anything. He doesn't have anything to be proud of because this world will use you and abuse you and kick you to the curb when they're done with you. Okay? He says, but them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I mean, God, you seek the very essence of those who were troublemakers and problematic, doing wicked and saying wicked things, trying to set traps and snares to do others in, especially God's children in, and you won't even find them. God will remove them. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. And all listen to this. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That means when you're crushed or you feel like I can't do this anymore, you know God takes you and wraps you in his arms through the angels. That's right, through the power of his son's name, the name above every name, at the name of Jesus. God tells us compassionately because through Christ, we are made one with the Heavenly Father. That's right, because when God sees us, he sees us through the eyes of his beloved Son. That's why you have to attain salvation, because salvation erases all the distractions that we committed in times past. That's right. God sees us no longer as his disobedient children, but he sees us as his beloved children. Oh, and here's the scripture that I love. You make sure you circle this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He didn't say some. He didn't say a few. He didn't say a couple. He said out of them all, totally. From the left to the right, from the right to the left, from up to down, to side, through all around, God delivers his children. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. That means that he keeps us in place. He keeps us complacent. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. He said, they shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Everything will break down around them, but they're still holding fast and holding on to the promise of God. And God will do what he says he will do. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Let people dislike you. Let them go behind your back. This is his mindset. God will reveal them, rebuke them, and cast them asunder right in your presence. You remember when King David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell, I say do well, and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God will ever watch over his word to perform it in our lives. All we have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these blessings, all these benefits shall be added unto us. And I just love those benefits. Benefits and blessings is just simply the most extravagant way to live for the Lord. That's right. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's standing on the promises of God. So you hold fast to Psalm 34, and you read it for your own soul's inspiration and for your elevation. That's right. And your perpetual inspiration. I thank God for you, beloved pilgrims of the Most High God. I thank God for you, and I love you, and I keep you in my prayers, and you pray for me as well. God is doing the great and the miraculous, and I'm so glad that I'm in a favorable position, and you are as well, to receive the best that God has to offer. Have a miraculous filled week of joy, of peace, of victory, of healing, and comfort. And we'll see you again on this Sunday with Man Up Speaking. You got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, giving subjection to the Holy Spirit, who is the divine teacher that leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. In all things, give thanks unto God, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. We'll pick you up back again on this Sunday. Have a blessed week.